I'm going to start by asking you a question. Is the Word of God, and I mean the Holy Bible, is the Bible the thing that you use to obtain the knowledge of God in your lives? Well, that's a stupid question. Of course it is. Not necessarily. Because there are so many places where we can obtain information about God. There are places where we can hopefully even obtain knowledge about God. Do you use the Bible as the reference, as the number one source for obtaining knowledge and information about God and God's way of life? The Word of God should be the foundation of our lives. It should be the thing that we use in applying in every area of our lives. But is it? Is it really? The Word of God needs to be the essence of what we base our lives upon. The Word of God needs to be the thing that truly feeds us. Obviously, I'm meaning in a spiritual way. Go with me to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 55. John chapter 6 and verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. I'm going to read several verses here. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eats of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Here Jesus is telling us he is the living bread that feeds us spiritually. Then in verse 51, going back early in 51, he tells us the result of if we are doing this, if we are feeding on Jesus Christ. Verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread," meaning of him, "he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So it's very plain. It tells us the Word of God needs to be like spiritual food that we partake of, that we internalize into our thoughts, into our minds, since it's something that we're not eating physically, but it is something that we are internalizing within our thoughts and in our minds. Not asking for comments, but to think about it. How often do you eat physical food? Once or twice a week? Every other day? Just on the Sabbath? No, of course, we eat physical food. And we understand that our bodies were designed by God since we are flesh and blood and bone. We understand that we have to partake of physical food to be able to sustain our physical bodies. Well, what about our spiritual life? That's our physical life. What about with our spiritual life? Jesus Christ just told us, "He who eats of this bread It's going to live forever. So I guess a follow-up question would have to be, it's a ridiculous question in one sense, but it still follows up. How many of us want to live forever? Then what is it going to take? Well, obviously, from what we've just seen, obviously one of those things is the partaking of the bread of life. And we see very clearly through Scripture, that's the Word of God. It would be what we call Bible study. I've not given a sermon on Bible study in a long, long time. Today, we're going to get a sermon on Bible study. And I'm going to approach it in a way that I've not really approached it before. It's simplistic. It's straightforward. There's a lot of verses. But I think and I hope and I pray, because I have prayed this, by the end of the Sabbath service today, that we're going to be committed more so to even doing more Bible study and be committed in a, perhaps even in a different way, because maybe we'll see it in a different way. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, it is implying, do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, to be focusing in the physical realm is death. In other words, the end result of just being physical is we're going to die. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Go with me now to Philippians chapter 2. Many of you will have this verse committed to memory, and that's good. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Allow it to be. Let. Allow it to happen. What it is telling us from this, because we tend to focus on let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's a good thing. Let the mind of Jesus Christ be in us. But I want to focus a little bit on the first part. Allow it to happen. Is that implying to us that we can allow it not to happen? That we have a choice in this? That we have a choice to let the mind of Jesus Christ be in us? We make a decision to allow that to happen? I would dare say that the answer is yes. We allow it to happen, it's going to happen. We don't allow it to happen, it's not going to happen. And it's the mind of Jesus Christ, the way he thought, who he was, what he was. That's what tells us, very plainly, how we are going to obtain eternal life. We're going to do it the way Jesus did. We got to have that mind of Jesus Christ. To have the mind of Jesus, we have to go to the place where we see his mind. What was the mind of Jesus Christ? That place is found in the Bible. He lived out what was his mind. He lived out in this physical existence. He lived out while he was this flesh and blood human being walking around on the earth. He lived out that life, and it's recorded in the pages of the Bible for us. We follow his example. The end result is we're going to be where he is. Now, I'm putting a whole lot of scriptures and making a very simple statement. But it's a very profound statement also. It's by doing what he did. And the Bible is where it is that records what it was that he did. We live a particular way of life. Our minds also obviously need to be renewed every day. Just like our tummies need to be filled every day. Our mind needs to be filled on Jesus Christ every day. They are renewed. Our minds are renewed. How? By studying the Word of God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You know these verses too. Put it in this context. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We live a particular way of life, is what it is saying. As a living sacrifice, holy. What does it mean to be holy? It's of God. We're to be living our lives as a sacrifice that is just like God. It's holy. Remember, there's so many occasions where in the Bible we find where God says, I want you to do this because I want you to be holy. Why? Because I am holy. So we do the things like Jesus did to be holy. Because we're going to be thinking like Jesus thought he was holy and we're going to be holy. As a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm reading it straight out of the King James. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, put away the fleshly thinking, the carnal thinking, the physical thinking, and start thinking like Jesus Christ thought. Renewing your mind, that or so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We go to the Bible, we study the Bible, yes, and we do need to couple this with prayer and all of that. I'm not really dealing with prayer, I'm dealing with Bible study. So we go to God in Bible study coupled with prayer to find out what is the perfect will of God. Then we've committed ourselves to living what we're learning, what we're being taught out of the Bible. Okay, now with this in mind, I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy. And I want us to see some things in this sermon about the Word of God that is very important about feeding on the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, we begin. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue you in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures. Holy meaning belonging to God. Scriptures are the recorded words, these verses. And in here, he's obviously referring to the Old Testament because that's all they had at the time. Know the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Wise unto salvation. The scriptures, the Bible. Wise unto salvation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And verse 17 tells us why, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, it paints a picture for us and tells us how we can live. And by living how we are told to live out of this book, we have this picture of how to live. It becomes a holy life. It becomes perfected. And we are therefore thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We live what we read and study in this book. These are important verses. These are important verses in understanding why the Bible is so important for our daily spiritual diet. So I'd like for us to take a look today into these verses. And I would like for us to come perhaps to a better understanding that the Bible truly is the basic tool that we are to use and how to model our Christian lives. How would we know how Jesus Christ lived and we're to follow his example if we don't have it recorded? How do we know how we are to live? We have it recorded in the pages of the Bible. One of the first things we see out of these verses that we've just read here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then in verse 16, we see that the Word of God is inspired by God. That the Bible is inspired. It could be stated that verse 16 is a concise statement for the purpose or purposes of the Bible. That we'd be wise unto salvation. That we would know how to live. That we would live it as a result of having had it in front of us. the concise statement for the purposes of the Bible. And that is to explain the plan of salvation that God has for mankind. Do we see that in that verse? No, but that's where we have it, in the Word of God. How would we know what God is wanting us to do? How would we know what promises we can claim from God? How do we know how we deal with if somebody is sick and afflicted? How do we know how to do these things of God if we don't have the Bible? We do have it for that very purpose, so that we will be wise unto salvation. And he breaks it down in these couple of verses here, and he says, the Bible is profitable for us. It's for our use, and there is profit in it. The profit is unto salvation. It's unto the spiritual life. Because you put all those verses together we've already seen, that's the conclusion that you have to come to. It is profitable because it's going to educate us in how to come to the place that we live a spirit life, a spiritual life. And we live it by following Jesus Christ. As we look at these particular verses here, we're going to focus on these points that we're seeing in these verses. We need to realize that perhaps a better use of the Greek words found here in verse 16 probably would be better translated in our understanding in today's language. It would be every scripture that is inspired. When you really look into the Greek, that's what the implication is. We have it strictly as every scripture is inspired by God. Everything has been allowed by God to be in here. But when it goes on and shows us in other places how we got the Bible, it says, holy men, moved by the Spirit of God, wrote down, you know, as the Spirit moved them. But brethren, please understand, we have some scriptures in here that were written after all of that was happened. They're not inspired because they're not truth. So every scripture that is inspired. Now, why am I pointing this out here? Because we have to come to the place and understanding that we need to study it to really know what is truth. What is truth? And therefore, every scripture then of God is profitable. So, there are four different ways that are shown here of how the Bible turns out to be, to put it in that way, profitable for us. It says that it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, it's profitable for correction, and it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Since our minds are to be filled by the inspired Word of God, then I think it would be profitable for us that we would try and understand these four separate points of how the Bible is profitable for us. So let's take a look at these four things. The first one, of course, it says it's profitable for doctrine. The first thing we need to understand, and it really just simplifies this point of how the Bible is profitable for us, that we understand what the word even means. The word doctrine simply means teaching. The teachings of God that are found in the Bible are profitable to us. That's what it's saying. The things that are recorded here, the teachings of God, they're profitable for us. And they use the word doctrine. The Greek word is lamad, and it actually would, in the better word for it, and putting it in English, in our language usage today, is teaching. It is profitable for teaching. It teaches what God wants us to live, what God wants us to know. It's real simple. This is not rocket science, and that's all that it is. And that's what this is talking about. Now, for us to really understand the teachings of God that are found in the Bible, then I think it's pretty straightforward and obvious that we need to study the teachings that are found there. If it's profitable for us what God is teaching found in the Bible, we need to know what they are. The way we come to understand and to know what they are is studying the book that has them recorded. That's the Bible. To understand something, to understand a teaching, a doctrine, we need to know it. And that takes study. So the first thing right off is we need to be studying the Bible so we can understand what it is that God is teaching to us. And this makes the Bible profitable for that. The second one is, it says it's profitable for reproof. Another way of putting this, the way we would use it in our language today for reproof, would be conviction. We use that term more than we would use reproof. In fact, I didn't do so, but I could have probably asked several of you before services to write down on a piece of paper right quickly or tell me very quickly what the word reproof means, and we would probably, some of us, perhaps, would have a little bit of difficulty coming up with the definition of the word. But we don't with conviction. The Bible convicts us. We understand that. That's real straightforward. It is one of the words that could be used when you take the Greek word that is translated here in the King James as reproof. It could be. So in other words, the word of God, the Bible, is to convict us. Let me tell you some other words that are related to this Greek word that we have translated as reproof. One would be condemn. It convicts us. It could condemn us. It could be showing us things that are just simply not right, the way we are doing. Other words would be censor, denounce, rebuke, reprimand, reproach, reproof. I'm just telling you these. I'm not necessarily expecting you to remember all of this and understand all this. It's just that we take these words and we get a better grasp of it. Admonish, chastise, penalize, punish, sentence. So in other words, the Word of God is there also for the purpose of how it's profitable to us. It convicts us. It shows us something's not right. In Romans chapter 7, verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, not dealing with marriage here, but it's the principle here, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, we are still in the flesh. We still have fleshly bodies. He's talking about in our mindset. Our focus was we're focused on things of the world, on flesh, not on spiritual things of God. That's what he's implying here. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. It ended in death. Leaving that way of life, it ended in death. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? And in the King James it says, God forbid, and it's not what it really says. And even in the Greek, it would mean like, of course not. Of course it's not what we do. No, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, worked in me all manner of concupiscence. For without law, sin is dead. Okay, we all come to the knowledge of what sin is through the Word of God. How else would we know? Because you can go to different religious places and ask, what do you teach on this particular topic? And you can get, it's a sin to do X in this place, and it's not a sin in this place. And in this one says, but this is a sin, and this place will say, no, it's not a sin. The only place that you really can go and understand what sin is the Word of God, is the Bible. The Bible convicts us. Oh, I've been doing this. I've been trying to worship God, but I've done it in a way that I thought I should because I was keeping a wrong day. I was keeping Sunday, thinking that it was really the right day. Now I've come and I look at the Bible and see what the Bible says, and it's very plain. when we leave out prejudices, it's very easy to come to the place and come to the knowledge and the understanding that the day of worship that God commanded is Saturday, is the Sabbath. That's not even an issue. So many people, so many teachers who still keep Sunday as the day of worship will tell you, what day does this book tell me that is the Sabbath? They will tell you it is the Sabbath, it is Saturday. However, and there is no however in here. So where do you go to find out what sin is? You go to the law of God. Where's the law of God found? Here. It convicts us. It shows us. Yeah, I've been condemned because I was doing it wrong. As a result, that in turn convicts us or reproves us. We realize we are condemned. Then we repent, which is another topic. But then we have to repent, which is a change of direction. We start doing the right thing and asking God to forgive me for doing the wrong thing. It's the Word of God that does that. In James chapter 1, in verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. What's the word? The word of God. He is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But, or however, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. Where do you go to see the law of liberty? The Bible. And continues therein. You continue in what it is said in the Word of God. He not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work or of the Word of God, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Because he's been convicted out of the Word of God that what he was doing wasn't correct. And so then he changes. The Word of God is profitable for reproof. The third one is profitable for correction. Here we find the only time the Greek word that is used here for correction. This is the only place in the scripture where this word is found. The word actually means, and you can easily look this Greek word up, it simply means a straightening up again. Now that's a real good way of putting it whenever we comprehend that and see what we're actually being told. So the Word of God is profitable to straighten us up. To straighten us up again. To get us right. Putting it very, very simple, it would be the Word of God is what will set us straight. It's not going to this religion or this religion or that religion or this literature or that literature or that literature. Is it wrong doing those things? Of course not. But they have to be based upon what the Bible says. That's where we have to go to find out what it is that's going to straighten us out. We have different understandings. Well, what do you understand about this particular topic? Well, I understand it like this. Then let's go to the Bible and see what it actually says. That's what is going to straighten us out. That's what the principle is. That's what it's actually talking about. I want to look at a few different passages about this topic of God's Word straightening us up or setting us straight. Let's go to John 15, Gospel of John 15, verse 1 through 3. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, which is recorded for us in what we call the Bible. That's what cleanses us. That's what it's through that. It's what we see. Ephesians 5, verse 26. Unless anyone think that I don't understand that we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But it's talking about our mind is thinking. You know, our mind is now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ephesians 5, verse 26. That he might sanctify. Sanctify means set apart. That he might set you apart and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. The word meaning the word of God. I.e. the Bible. Let's go on now to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 5 through 11, because there's some real good principles in these verses. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not you the chastening of the Lord, or correction, or straightening you up. Don't despise God straightening you up. Nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. It says, if you're not being chastened by the Lord, if you're not being set up straight, it says, then you're like bastards and you're not really sons. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days, these physical fathers, they did it only a few days. For a few days, in other words, it's a physical existence. They chastened us after their own pleasure, but God for our profit. This is for our good. This is for our well-being, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, the purpose of the reproof for correction, the purpose of it is, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby, they who receive this chastening of the Lord, those who receive the straightening us up. You ever had your dad or your mom when you were a child say, you better what? Straighten up. That's the word. That's the principle. Our Father straightens us up. Let's go to chapter 12, Hebrews 12 and verse 4. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved of him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. I'm reading this in another translation, seeing it in a different way. And it makes it a little plain after we read the others and then come back and see what the purpose is. And he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for the discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? The word discipline is not actually the same word as correction. The principle is. It's the principle of it. You can use the word, correct, or you can use the word discipline. You know, a lot of these different words in situations where we don't even necessarily meaning is really, you know, really, really negative of and by itself. For example, we discipline our car. It's not the word we would use, but the principle is the same. We correct it. As you're going down the road, we discipline it to turn where the turns are. We straighten it up. We get it to going in the way that it needs to be going. That's what God does. That's what one of the purposes of the Word of God is to get us going in the direction we need to be going. Straighten us up, because we're not going in the right direction. We can use the word even to a car. See, it doesn't have to necessarily mean that we're doing it out of rebellion or anything. We just don't know. So we need to allow the Word of God to straighten us up. Number 4, the Word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Go with me here. Turn to Psalm 119 in verse 172. Simple biblical definition. Let my tongue sing of your word, for your commandments are righteousness. The word commandment here doesn't necessarily have to be implying just to the Ten Commandments. It doesn't necessarily have to be that. It means that the God's inspired word of God teaches us what is the right way to live. That right way to live could be summarized as righteousness. We're living in a righteous way. We're living in the way of God. It could mean all the same, and we would be good to think about it in that way. It's the word of God that is going to tell us what or how to be living a life that the end result here is righteousness. And God calls it righteousness. And it's not ours. It's not ours because ours is the living it the way of the flesh, which ends in death. Living it God's way. So it's not our way and it's not our righteousness, it's God's. So, the word of God is profitable for righteousness because it tells us how to live the correct way of life of God. And that could be defined as righteousness or summarized as righteousness. So after seeing these points, let me ask ourselves a question. Ask each one of us a question. But why should I study the Bible daily? Let me give you a biblical answer. Not my words, but the words out of the Bible. It tells us why. It tells us why. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17. Some of you would know where I'm going, and some of you would know what I'm going to read. But in Deuteronomy, chapter 17, we're going to read verses 18 through 20. We could read a lot of others before. It talks about in the time it's going to happen when you're going to be winding up, you know, setting up a king. Is going to be ruling over you. Now that's the essence of what it's talking about. But it's the principle here that is absolutely awesome to think about. Why should I be studying the Bible on a daily basis? Deuteronomy 17 verse 18. And it shall be when he, means the king, sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. The Levites were the ones who were to teach the people out of the word of God. That's very plain, and that's what this is also implying. The king is to write himself a copy out of the book that sets before the Levites. The Levites teach the people how to live. That's their purpose. Joining the people to God. Levi means joining. They had a purpose of joining the people to God. The king is to go and write himself a copy of the book that the priest used to tell the people how to live. Okay, we understand. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, or every day of his life. So that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. To keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. The king is to know what it is so that he will come to see who and what is God. He fears the Lord God. He comes to see that. And it says, and as a result of writing this out and reading his personal copy every day of his life, it is to keep all the words of this law and the statutes to do them. Not just reading them, but he lives it as a way of life. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brother. He's one of them. The king is just one of them. Queen Elizabeth is one of them. Yes, she's elevated in that sense, and we understand it. There are several kings or queens in the world. I'm just using her as an illustration. But she's one of them. And she should be that way. And there are some things about Queen Elizabeth you probably like or don't like. But one of the things that I have admired about this woman, she's been Queen of Great Britain and the nations of Israel, which is what she was crowned as. Whether she understands that or not is not my point. But I think she has tried to be. She's been aloof in many ways, but she's also tried to be like the people in so many ways by coming out right among them. And she holds up her dignity. That's British. But there are times whenever she has done things in front of the people where she's even cried. She's one of them. That's what the king is to be. That they are. That he will not be lifted up above his brother. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. To the end, the purpose of it, and to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So the king was to write himself a copy of the book of the law that the priest used to teach the children of Israel how to live, to join them to God. He wrote his own copy. He had his own book. He read it every day. He lived by it. God commanded the king to write himself a copy of the book of the law and to read from it every day of his life. To write it out and to read from it. As we read in verse 20, it shows us this was for the purpose of giving the king the correct outlook on himself. To see himself. He's just one of the people that he's dealing with, that he's the king over. The purpose of it was so it would keep him humble. Through studying the word of God daily, as he was commanded to do, the king was to use the book in making decisions as he lived his life and as he ruled over God's people. Now, this daily practice would also do us the same. We could learn the same lessons. And the reason is because we're going to be kings and priests. We're going to be both. It could be stated that it's going to be a kingdom of priests. It also is stated as we are going to be kings and priests. We're going to be ruling, but we're also going to be joining the people to God, which is what the Levites, what the priests were to be doing. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We're told to do the same. Then, in, of course, another verse that you would recognize and you'd remember is in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. Revelation 5, verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we will reign on the earth. We're going to be members of the family of God. We're going to have been changed from flesh to spirit. But you know, these people that are here on the earth that are still flesh and blood human beings, we were from them. We're going to be lifted up. You know, we're going to think of ourselves as something so great. This happened because of the greatness of God. He called us. We said yes. He granted us repentance. He told us what was sin so that we would know this is wrong and this is the right way. He's done it all. When you really think about it, and we're going to think that we're going to be lifted up. I mean, it's a different way of looking maybe, but you know, I've heard people, you know, way back years past, yeah, I can hardly wait till we're in the kingdom so I can put these people down and make them do this and make them do this. And I cringed. I remember being in my 20s and cringing when one of the guys that was, I considered one of my best friends who was the same age I. And I'm thinking, he doesn't get it. This isn't about us being something great. This is about us using the greatness of God to help other people to see God. This is not about us. You know, and it's just really interesting. And anyway. So we're going to be benefited by reading and studying the Word of God every day today. But if you want to think about it, we've also been commanded. Because the king was commanded. This wasn't a suggestion. God commanded the king that he write himself a copy of the law. That he reads from that copy every day. That he lives from it every day. And then as he deals with the people, as he judges the people, what is he going to deal with them from? Out of this book. Out of this book of God. We call it the Bible. So what have we seen today? What are some of the things that we've seen? Well, we have seen the Bible, which is the inspired Word of God, is here, is for us, has been preserved for us, and the studying of how the Bible has come to be, how it's come down through history, is an incredible study in itself. But it is here to help us in living a life that is righteous before God. That's what it does. That's what this book does, is allows us to be able to live a righteous way of life. Without it, we would know what that is. Without knowing the teachings, the doctrines of God, we would not know the way of life that God would desire for us to live. Another thing is we have seen the Bible convicts us of what is wrong, what needs to be corrected. It convicts us. It shows us. You know, I didn't understand this. I didn't know that I was doing this. I didn't know that what I was doing was wrong. We repent. It convicts us. It shows us. We also have seen that the Bible corrects us. It is the Bible that is there. The words of God show us. It shows us that God is there to straighten us up again. And it's the Bible that does that. The words that are found here should straighten us up. And we've also seen that the Bible shows us what is righteousness. In other words, the right way to live life. An important question might be, what are we going to do with the information that we have seen today? What I pray is for each one of us is that we will study the Bible more. That we will study it with these points in mind as we look through the Bible. As we're studying the Bible, the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and it is there to correct us or to, you know, to convict us when we are living contrary to God's instructions. And His Word is there to straighten us up again, to be doing it in the right way. When we find ourselves off the track, it's the Word of God that's going to be able to do that. Yes, and there may be times when we need to go, and there are probably many times we'll need to go to somebody else. Probably, hopefully, you know, it might be to the ministry, but to somebody obviously that is knowledgeable in what the Bible says, that we may have to go and say, what is this and what is this when you explain this to me, but we know where to go. But the Bible is there to straighten us up again if we get off the track. The Bible is also the only place that we can go to learn what is righteousness before God. So my purpose today, and I told you at the very beginning, this is a very simple, very straightforward, but if you think about it in another way, it's very profound. Because here's the thing, there are so many people who do not know this. Do we take it for granted? Because once you know something, we can begin to take it for granted. And so we don't really study. We don't really dig into the Bible. We don't really look in and see, you know, am I doing something that I shouldn't be doing? Correct me. Straighten me up again. Discipline me in the way that I need to receive it and do what it is that pleases you. You know, the Father that pleases you, that glorifies who you are. because I want to be in the kingdom of God and I want to be able to teach others. And it's the opportunities even in this life we can teach others. But we got to know what it is to teach them. Well, that's Bible study. That's how we get that. And so again, what I ask is that God would simply bless you as you study the Word of God. That the Word of God will perfect you. And as it says, that you will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's the Bible that shows us how that happens.